Jose, would you
call Franklin is next.
Franklin, go ahead.
Yeah, I think Carol kind of already mentioned it, that the building is what I've been hearing in. I'd also recommend while I'm talking that people sign on to the Pacifica Listener Forum, which is a conference call that happens with Pacifica members, board members, or whoever. Well, I think they were, what are they called? Candidates. So yeah, Pacifica Listener Forums, where they were talking about it, and it's basically people from, all over the network. And what I had heard in one of the Pacifica Listener Forums was that the building too was uninhabitable, and that, I don't remember exactly. I did take some notes, but unfortunately I did not save them on a document when I restarted my computer. But yeah, it came down to the inhabitability of the building. And there was also some discussion about like how much of the money would be used, like what we were talking about today. So I'm just, real quick before I get off of the mic here, is that you could send an email to Pacifica Listener Forum, no S, Pacifica Listener Forum at gmail.com, and they will send you the conference call phone number for the Pacifica Listener Forums when they happen. And that's just another good way to listen to people from the other stations, which is how I heard about what Carol had mentioned. So yeah, I'd be curious to see what the bylaws say, because I understand this is part of the bylaws and that there was some concern about Nakapon, and also that the building that we're discussing now in Houston. So I just wanted to mention that. Carol kind of mentioned it first. So yeah, I would like to continue this discussion, talk about the bylaws, what they mean, what they say, how they're interpreted by us regarding the sale of the property. I know the licenses are really clear. So yeah, I'm looking forward to more discussion to help make an informed vote here. So James and Chris are going to speak, and I usually appreciate their information. And I've seen some discussion in the chat that would be interesting to take up about this topic.
Okay, I'm done. I would just state that my problem with it is that the opaqueness of it, and that there's a contract that they refuse to allow the Pacifica National board members to review with some agent who's going to be selling the property. It's not the habitability of the building that we have a problem with. It's the process and the fact that this would be the second building sold that is collateralized to the $3.25 million loan that would be got rid of. And that would leave two buildings, which would be KPFA and KPFK. And that would be all or substantially all of the property. And that the bylaws state that the membership should be able to vote on it. You can review that in the bylaws. It says all or substantially all. That would be a substantial amount of the buildings, and that's what the motion is reflecting. So I think the next person, James, could you? Not James. Is it James? Is that correct, Jose?
It is James, and then Sharon, and then Chris.
Thank you. Go ahead, James.
Can you hear me? So I'm looking at this Article 3, Section 5, where it says all members shall have the rights to granted to them by the law or by these bylaws, including without limit the right to vote on the terms and the matter set forth in the bylaws, on the election and removal of delegates, on the sale, and this is the key one, on the sale, exchange, transfer, or disposition of all or substantially all of the foundation's assets. And I think it's written that way because you want to give the management, the executive director and his staff at the national level, you want to give them some leeway to move money around, to exchange or transfer a significant, but you don't want to give them the chance to basically gut the whole network, which is what it sounded like was attempted back in the 90s. And so I think this, but if you said you had to have an election every time you wanted to transfer any asset, I mean, I think that would be just, that would basically mean that we have to have an election every time there's something that needs to be shuffled around. And we don't want to completely restrict management that level, where you have to have an election each time because elections are costly. So the issue is if you're going to do something like this, you got to get the wording right. And I don't know, looking at this, you know, having had a few minutes only to look at this motion, you know, normally we would hear a motion, you know, several days before a meeting so we could think about, you know, the repercussions of it rather than it just be, put on us at the meeting. That we want to get the wording right. And it, and I'm just a little bit concerned about this, you know, does real property, you know, what does real property, since I'm not a lawyer, I don't know if that has a specific meaning, but does that also mean any equipment that's, you know, that might be outdated, you know, but can you sell equipment?
No, it's not.
Is real property only land? Is it only land and buildings?
Real estate.
And do you want to make it so you can't sell any land and real estate, or do you want to leave it the language as it is, which is substantially all, you know? So if there was some small piece of property and it was a good business decision to sell it because the price was really, really high and you could move those functions that building serves somewhere else that's much, much cheaper, you know, and it's made a lot of business sense to do that. You know, what, you know, do you have to have an election to do that? And then, you know, and involve all the, you know, all the, members? Do they really know what's going on? Or do you say this is what, I mean, to me that there's always talk about, you know, we want to give management some control. This seems to be, you know, kind of going, you know, it sounds like we're trying to create a generality that's to deal with a specific concern by members that they're going to sell some building of KPFA. And you really want to make sure that the, whatever comes out of this is not, written, that it just binds the hands of,
Fine, Madam Chair.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, we get your point. Just to clarify, there were four buildings. Now there are, if they sell T, there will be two, and we don't know. There's an opaqueness surrounding the process. That's my problem with it. And it's an interpretation of the bylaws. We're not trying to create something. It's a clarification of what do the bylaws mean when you're selling property, two of the buildings, and then there were two. It is substantially, it's a substantial amount. That's my perception. I think Chris is next. Is that correct, Jose?
Sharon is next, and then Chris.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sharon. Go ahead, Sharon.
I can't raise my hand, so I have to put it in chat.
I'm sorry.
Keep track of it. No, thank you. I want to address some of the points. First, I just want to say that was amazing, typically red herring argument to somehow say that when it says real property, it means equipment. I mean, it's kind of astounding to hear somebody make that kind of statement that allegedly, you know, has an advanced degree. I mean, has an advanced degree. It's astounding to hear that kind of statement. But anyway, leaving that aside, the bylaws do say substantially all. And as Christina was trying to make the point, the real estate, all of it, substantially all of it will be sold if the KPFA building is sold, or the KPFK building. And that is why we are asking for this, because that is kind of where this all is heading. And just to remind people of the Grace Aaron plan that was circulated when she was proposing that everybody go for this $3.2 million loan deal with FJC, it did include the sale of basically substantially all of the real estate of Pacifica. That was part of her plan. So I think we can understand and assume that that plan is being implemented, and that is why we are calling for this vote at this time. I think somebody said something about gutting the network. Yes, that's what's happening. Oh, yeah, James McFadden said that about, oh, that's what happened in the 90s. No, that's what's happening right now. KPFT, the Texas station, is going to be homeless, stationless. It's not going to have a place to exist anymore after this sale happens. And there's been no preparation to, you know, they're going to sell their building, and there's nothing being said to them like, oh, we'll lease you this, we'll get you this space. Nothing. Okay? So, that seems like a pretty substantial sale if you're one of your stations is going to be homeless. So anyway, that's just what I wanted to say on those points.
Thank you.
Chris next.
Thank you. Go ahead, Chris.
Thank you.
First of all, I wanted to say that I believe that for several months now, the PMB has actually had access to that loan agreement. I had a copy because I was actually sitting on the board when that loan was adopted, so I've had it for quite some time. The discussion of the sale of the KPFT property has been done quite extensively at the PNB, but it's all been in closed session. So that's why you haven't heard anything about it, is because there's just a ton of bickering behind the scenes going on about it. And as far as the apportionment is concerned, I agree with what Sharon said, that it's impossible to say, and I've made this point repeatedly at the PNB, and actually Arthur has argued with me on this, and I don't understand why he would, but the lender can actually demand whatever the hell they want on this. I mean, they might choose to be nice about it and proportion it out the way that the, we had a motion that went through the PMB about a sale of property or bequests, any large receipt of funds to individual stations, and whether it applies to this building or not is yet another matter for discussion. But how FJC chooses to treat this, if they're being nice, they would treat it according to the provisions of the loan, which would mean that the station would get a portion of those funds. But if they're not being nice, then the station would get none of it. You know, so I don't know what to tell you on that. And I don't think anybody sensible would be making any statements about with any certainty at this juncture. It really is up to the lender. And finally, KPFT has no habitable space currently. So the fact that they won't have any in the future is not really much of a change for them. You know, they are definitely looking into it and how to resolve that issue, and hoping for funds to come from the national to take care of that. But I just want everybody to keep it in mind that, you know, nobody's in that station right now because it is currently not habitable. And so that's where the issue stands now and where it is likely to stand for the foreseeable future. Hopefully it'll get resolved quickly after the sale of the building. Thank you.
So question, I had put myself on the set. I have a quick question for you, Chris. So I knew you'd seen the loan papers, but are you saying that you have seen the contract with the real estate agent? That, because my understanding was a real estate person volunteered to do the sale for free, but they're going to, rather than that, pay $60,000 for someone else to sell it. And that was a concern for me. So have you seen the contract with the real estate agent?
I haven't, but I think that I'm safe to discuss a certain aspect of it, and that's that this free thing is not really true. I mean, there's some complexities associated with the contract itself. I haven't seen it. Okay. So this is all going off of verbal. The free thing, had to do, there's a seller's half and a buyer's half of any individual real estate sale. And what the free proposal was that, the real estate firm in question would waive, I guess the buyer's half or whatever portion that they could, you know, in other words, they're still making money on this. They're just going to make it, or the seller's half, I guess. Yeah. They'd waive the seller's half. Whether, the current real estate agent would waive that in light of the fact that we've already listed it with them is another matter entirely. I don't know. Can't answer those questions either, because this is a matter for legal, not for the PNB or for myself. So I haven't been able to do anything other than listen to this discussion at the national level.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. And Jose, you want to?
Daniel Borgstrom.
Go ahead, Daniel.
Yes. Initially, this motion did seem like a good idea to me. But as I hear the discussion, I realize that this clarification is just going to add a lot more fog and confusion to the whole thing. It's going to make things more complex and not help. Therefore, I oppose it.
Thank you. Do we have any other hands up raised with questions?
Carol for the stack.
I don't think anybody else is.
Carol for the stack.
Go ahead, Carol.
Sharon, I wonder if you would accept a friendly amendment that would be accept it as a friendly amendment. The KPFA-LSB demands that Pacifica hold a membership vote before the sale, exchange, transfer, or encumbrance of any KPFA property, building or property, real property or license pursuant to bylaws, Article 3, Section 5. So to change Pacifica's real property to KPFA real property.
No, I don't accept that because they say that KPFA doesn't own any real property. It's all Pacifica's, which is actually true.
I see.
Madam Chair, point of inquiry. This is Andrea. And through the chair, Carol mentioned that KPFT houses are archives.
KPFK.
KPFK. Okay.
Yes, in Los Angeles. Right. Yes.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Sure.
And Philip is next.
Philip, we can't hear you.
Yeah, I looked up on Zillow what the value of the Lovett Boulevard property in Houston is. And they say $1.2 million. And I'm probably the only person on this call that's ever actually been in this building when I was on the board back in 1990. Again, the building itself is worthless, but the neighborhood is really up and coming.
Yes.
And it's 0.3 acres. It's a chunk of land in a fancy neighborhood. So just for your information, and of course they have their satellite dish in the backyard of this house. So I don't know where their satellite dish is going to live if they have rental property. I mean, our satellite dish is up at the transmitter. So again, just for your information, I don't know if all of this has been thought through, but $1.2 million, which by Bay Area standards doesn't sound like that much, but in Houston, that's real money.
Yes. Thank you.
Tim Lynch.
As I listen to this, I just wonder, since the building is uninhabitable, and that's what everybody seems to agree on, and the property is worth money, maybe it's in everybody's interest to let it be sold, and for us to focus on other properties within Pacifica's portfolio. In other words, we don't want to force Pacifica into a place where they have to keep bad property, right? So on the one hand, we don't want the place gutted. We certainly don't want a thing like Knock Upon repeated. But on the other hand, if we have a bad asset on the books and we can cash it out, help me understand why we would want to prevent that.
Do you want to respond, Sharon?
Okay, I guess I wasn't actually thinking about the Texas property, to be honest, because I thought it was already in process when I wrote that motion. I was thinking of future properties, so maybe we want to exclude that one. I don't know. I kind of thought that sale was already under contract or something, I guess, because, you know, everything's mysterious. So that was my thought, was beyond the Texas property.
Well, if we could make that explicit, perhaps, in the motion.
Yeah, maybe I could do that.
It could be the other two properties, because if they sell another two properties, that would definitely be substantially all or all. That would conform to the bylaws verbiage. Mm. Yeah, the thing that bothers me, I'm going to put myself on stack here, is the opaqueness of the process, that we don't really know what the contract really is for the real estate people, that we don't know where they're going to move the satellite dish. And my understanding, and I'll ask Chris this, you may know, is that they have not done a reappraisal of the property, and the appraisal was done years ago. Is that correct, Chris?
Right.
Yeah, there's an appraisal in process right now to answer that question.
Oh, good.
Succinctly, and I don't believe it's complete.
Okay, thank you. So did you want to amend your, accept a friendly amendment to your motion, Sharon, to exclude
it? Yes, I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to work to put it in the chat. So let me just work on that for a second.
Okay.
Yeah, and we do have public comments, maybe starting time certain at 1:30.
Correct. While you're writing the friendly amendment up, did Don McClay have something to say? Is that correct, Jose? Or
yeah, Don McClay is next.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I'm not sure why we would write out Texas if it's actually the first example of what we were talking about. And if I understand the motion, what Sharon is suggesting is that we tell the national board we don't want the sales of these kinds of things without getting an approval of the larger community. So why shouldn't they get an approval for selling Texas? It doesn't mean that we like or don't like one idea or another. It's just that the idea, the proposal to sell this building should be brought to our community as a whole. I mean, if that's what I'm understanding you're saying, Jim.
I guess what I would say is, excuse me, but I just jumped in there, but only because I understand the reality, which is, you know, for doing the membership, you know, actually, Don, you just convinced me that, yeah, I should not change. So now I'm confused. Maybe we just put this off. I don't know. But because what I was thinking was, based on what people have said, it does seem like even Texas is kind of like, yeah, it's going. The building's going. I know, because I'm on the NFC, so I do hear, well, at least from two people from Texas, not everyone. And so, yeah, mentally, I guess in my mind, like just to repeat what I said, I thought, oh, that contract, I somehow had the thought the contract had already been signed, but now I understand, yes, it has not been sold. So I don't know. Maybe we should postpone this one. I'm not sure.
You want to postpone?
Answer the question, Don, why I raised about Texas is because my understanding is that the building's uninhabitable anyway, and then T is already out. So why force a membership vote or force a delay of sale of something that we can get cash for that's otherwise worthless to us? So that was my concern about hampering a sale of Texas.
Fine. Thank you, Tim. I think that if I'm right, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jose Philip was next.
Correct.
I just want to say it's not two properties, it's three. The transmitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The transmitter is a chunk of real estate that's worth real money. Yes. And in my more depraved moments, I imagine building condos on the transmitter to save us all from financial disaster. Condos on the transmitter is still an option. So I do imagine that. If you've ever been up there, it's got a fabulous view.
Mm-hmm. It does.
The land is more valuable than anything too.
Yes.
Yes.
So did you want to delay it to next meeting so we can reexamine the particulars, Sharon?
Let's do that so we can have a 2-minute break before public comment.
Yes.
Okay.
So we'll withdraw the, postpone the motion till our next meeting so it can be reexamined. And,
Philip was last to,
Philip, go ahead.
No, I said what I had to say.
Oh, okay.
Condos.
Thank you.
Maybe I should make a motion about building condos on the train.
No, please don't. Oh my God. Okay. Well, we have public comments coming right up. And Carol, are you there? Carol Wolfley?
What?
Yeah. I wondered, would you take over for me for a moment? I need to step away for just a minute.
Oh, I need to step away too. Is anybody else, can we just take a 2-minute break?
Well, it's not a long
2-minute break. Let's just do it. Come on.
Okay.
2 minutes and then we'll be back.
Okay.
Okay.
2-minute break. We'll just leave everything open. Just 2 minutes.
Jose, can you ask people to sign up for public comments if they want to?
they just heard you. So yes, anyone wants to sign up for public comments, raise your hand. If you can't raise your hand, let me know in the chat.
Hey, guys, Sam.
And again, if you'd like to be put on stack for public comments, go ahead and raise your hand. If you can't raise your hand for whatever reason, go ahead and let me know in the chat, and I'll add you to the stack. And for those joining us on a phone line, if you'd like to raise your hand, you can press *9 and you'll be put on stack.
You know, there are 27 cats without furniture.
This is Carol. I am asking anybody who has just joined for public comments, please sign up by you can sign up on the chat or by raising your hand. Jose, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. Are you getting a list? I'm not seeing people raising their hands on my computer, but are you?
Yeah, I see them, and I have a list as well as requests that have come in the chat.
How many do you have?
Eight people on stack.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And yes, Sue Cohen. I do have you on stack.
Okay, so we have eight people, and I just wanted to say that our usual process for public comments is to have any people who are, we want to give priority to KPFA members, and this is our budget meeting today, so we are talking a lot about finances, and we especially appreciate people who would like to contribute about issues about finances and KPFA. And of course, you're welcome to stay for the PMB reports or to go to kpftx.org and listen to the finance report, the budget that we had today that we voted on. So I think we should go ahead and start. And Sharon, are you there? Can you time people for 2 minutes?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. And Jose will call on people, starting with the first person, and you will hear a, Sharon, will you make a sound or interrupt at 2 minutes?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Elizabeth Milos is first.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, this goes directly towards money. Given that the last removed promotion was to follow the bylaws and give members the right to vote over the dispensation of assets, would this LSB be willing to censor the members on this LSB board for repeatedly trying to put Pacific in receivership via lawsuits and appeals, circumventing the same bylaws that you are talking about? That's one question. The next is, in the realm of reimbursement to KPFA by the PMB, who will reimburse WBII for the last lost revenue from being illegally closed down during the fund drive and the legal fees to get them reopened? Number three, the business manager beforehand berated LSB member for asking for budget in advance. The LSB has a right to this. Also, she should have notified the LSB on the property tax issue during these past 6 years. She didn't. And the state assessor's office had no file from KPFA regarding any kind of filing. And the name change actually happened after the actual taxes were due. So we were still late in filing the taxes at the time of the actual name change as well. So that is very, very tepid argument on part of Maria, the business manager. I would also like to state that I'm very offended by the comments on the chat against fellow LSB member James McFadden. He has a right to write a truthful article. And in fact, what you are proposing or what some members on the chat were proposing was censorship. And I am very offended by the comments on the chat that you have there, calling him a liar. The article was truthful, the one on Counterpunch. It has not been removed. The article is there, and it was in response to an article written by Gendelman, and which was red baiting and green baiting, and it was very offensive, that article. So he had every right to write it as well. And I'd also like to commend Tom Voorhees for, and I would like.
Time. Shut up,
Sharon.
Sorry, having to listen to more lies being perpetrated is actually really annoying.
I know. I'm just, let's keep order here. Okay. You want to call on the next person, Jose?
Yes, Sue Cohen is next. Sue Cohen.
Somebody should mute themselves, please, unless it's Sue Cohen. In which case, she does not need to mute herself. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Is 419 Lovett Boulevard, is that near any kind of a public transportation hub? Does anyone know? How hard is it to get there by bus to volunteer?
It's one block from Westheimer, which is a main street in that part of Houston. Westheimer is just one block away.
Thank you, Phillip.
Okay, and, I have been in that building, by the way. KPFK's building, for your future reference, is like a block away from a major transit hub where you can take the subway all the way to and get to the station and walk over and volunteer. And that's all. Thank you.
All right. You, Steve Seltzer.
Okay, I think that it's really despicable that the budget, financial budget, is only presented to the LSB board members 2 days before a vote on it, which does not give them enough time to look at it. Basically, what are they hiding? What is the business manager hiding? by not providing the budget, which is her responsibility to the LSB, so they can have a careful review of it. And to push it ahead shows a contempt of the LSB and the bylaws. There is no finance committee at KPFA, and we've seen today's meeting insult, personal insults by the treasurer to even raise questions. And that was just a moment ago. The question of costs, I mean, KPFA is being charged for the lawsuits that the chair of KPFA has made and others to sue Pacifica to put in trusteeship. What kind of fiscal responsibility is that, that the majority of the New Day people want to put Pacifica in trusteeship of a judge? Is this democracy? This is not transparency and democracy. It would take away the ability of the local station boards and democratic governance, which I think is what people want to do who are supporting this New Day Pacifica. The other thing is $80,000 was sent by KPFA manager without a report by the treasurer to the local station board to shut down WBAI, to the lawyers to shut down WBAI. Where's the accounting for that? And also the accounting of the failure to pay the property taxes. KPFK was paying their property taxes under the same state of California law. KPFA was not doing that. And the business manager at KPFA has no explanation except to blame the PNB. But that is, again, a slander on the PNB that they're responsible for paying property taxes. It's a local station business manager who's responsible for paying property taxes. She did not do that. And she's not being held accountable, which is one of the responsibilities of the local station board and the manager at KPFA. The other thing is there's been no staff meetings at KPFA between the staff and the management, which shows, again, a disrespect of the staff.
Time is up. Thank you. Next person.
Theodora.
Theodora.
I don't see her being part of the meeting now.
Maybe she left. Okay. Well, go ahead and call on
next. Virginia Brown. Yep.
Okay, can you hear me? The property tax issue started in 2013 when the PNB was allied with the protectors. Pacifica's name was changed. People tend not to go into that, into why. Work was done by some allied with the Rescue Pacifica group to allow Pacifica to continue to operate. The problem wasn't over, but KPFA as a media entity could have mounted a huge public campaign to get this fixed. Propaganda points fly up the wazoo by the protectors, including this about the property. The KPFA contingent property that was sold was a moldy, rat-infested, unusable space. Volunteer builders and architects allied with the Rescue Pacifica people advanced, proposed, and submitted a written plan to save that. Under the protectors, that was ignored. Now, this about the other property. As Tim Lynch pointed out, it was probably an excellent move to sell that horrible, also unusable property in a time when they could get really good value for it. And there was, in fact, unlike what the snide comments by some of you board members said, there was a plan to, and is a plan, to get a replacement for that. I think that proposal that was just made by Sharon about the property was mostly a propaganda point so that they could put out more, another KPFA, well-funded KPFA protector, so-called protector, propaganda piece saying that the LSB, passed such and such, even though it's a slim, majority doing this for propaganda reasons only.
Okay.
Next person, please.
Mara Rivera.
Go ahead, Mara. Mara?
Mara Rivera, you are muted. If you can unmute yourself.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. You can hear me now, right?
Yeah.
So I'm very appalled at what Sharon said when she characterized the people on public comment as putting out lies and yelling at them. Ordinarily, it's not allowed to answer people in public comment. And I've always thought that that was kind of annoying, but now I see that there's a really good reason for it. Also, most of what I wanted to say has already been commented on about the cost of the lawsuits. And I'm really taken aback by having people who are on the LSB or the PNB who are there supposed to be supporting this institution instead trying to apparently take it down by trying to put it into receivership or making personal attacks on PNB members. I think that that's not a proper use of your office. And I don't think that people who are attacking the organization in that way should be in leadership positions.
Stan Woods.
I'm done.
Stan Woods, please.
Yes. Hi. I used to be on the LSB in the previous decade. And that comes to the point of why is KPFA and Pacifica losing revenue? And I think one of the reasons the membership has dramatically declined. I don't have the exact figures, but I tend to remember when I was on the board, there was about 26,000 paid members of KPFA. It's down to, and once again, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe 12,000 now. And I think the reason is that the many, well, particularly young activists, there are thousands of young activists in the Bay Area alone. I'm a member of a group, East Bay Democratic Socialists of America, most of whom are very young, and they don't listen to KPFA. One of the reasons they give is because they feel a lot of the programs are only slightly left of NPR, and NPR gives a more professional, if you will, presentation, so they might as well listen to NPR. So I really think, one, we need to have a dramatic look at the programming. Instead of repeating one show in particular twice in a day, there's a lot of potential programmers out there. There's a lot of program proposals. And I think we need to revive a democratic decision-making program council. I fundamentally, and I think most listeners do too, disagree with a top-down decision-making in a real corporate radio style, like one or two or three people make all the decisions regarding programming. I don't think most of our listeners want that. A lot of listeners take the idea of democracy, including internal democracy, seriously. So if we want to up our financial fortunes, I think we need to have a serious look at programming, reviving the program council. And one last point, not directly economically related, I hope people will give all support to Frank Sterling and in his legal difficulties right now as a victim of state repression. Thank you.
Thank you, Stan.
Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman.
Hi. I just wanted to put in, I saw something in the comments that WBAI was never shut down. I'm from WBAI, and it was indeed shut down. There was armed people came, and they crashed the station, and they took the emergency broadcasting equipment that's legally required for transmitting, and they locked all the programmers out. Everybody was fired, and it became a transmitter from California. The station itself was indeed shut down. And when a month later we won legal access, we were not able to start broadcasting again immediately because of all the necessary repairs that were needed.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Okay, thank you. Who's the next person, Jose?
That's it.
Okay, well, thank you very much for being here for public comment. I think we'll move on to the next part of our, well, since we have a time certain for the PNB reports, we could go on to the minutes approval. Carol Wolfley?
Is that the entire public comment?
Yeah, there's no other hands up.
Okay.
Okay. I move that we approve the minutes from March, May, and July of 2021.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Do you want to have a roll call vote, or anybody who objects raise hands? What do you think, Carol?
Sorry, could you guys repeat that? I missed what we're suddenly voting on.
We're
voting on the minutes from March, May, and July of 2021.
It's been moved and seconded.
Okay. Are there no objections?
James McFadden has his hand up.
Have the meeting minutes been changed? The meeting minutes several times had some errors in them with regard to a motion by Kimura was passed by our LSB and changed.
So as the chair, we reviewed this, the officers. And in Robert's Rules of Order, there can only be one motion on the floor at a time. The only motion that was on the floor at that meeting when we discussed it was Lily Kimura's motion. I believe Chris Corey offered some other way to go, but there was no motion made by Chris Corey, friendly or otherwise, as an amendment to the motion that was seconded on the floor. Therefore, the only motion that was voted on was Lily's motion. So it was voted on. We went back and listened. And we voted on the motion on the floor, and that was the only motion on the floor, and it was voted and approved. So the minutes are accurate. Carol?
No, that was not what happened.
I'm stating
that. I listened to the tape too. That is not what happened.
Robert's Rules of Order say there can only be one motion on the floor at a time, and I'm not sure why you're so opposed to having it be approved, James.
It's dishonest, because what happened is that her motion got pushed off to a committee.
It did not.
Sent to the PNB.
And it did not. And I just told you my ruling is it did not, because that was not a motion to move it to that. There was one motion on the floor. It was Lily's, and that was it. So go ahead, Carol. You had to add to that. Go ahead.
Yes. So let me go through this. I understand that it was a complicated process. So the March 20th, 2021 LSB meeting, there was a motion condemning of anti-Asian hate crimes. The motion was introduced. Concerns were raised that it was not on the agenda and that the LSB does not take stands on political issues. Because the issue is a humanitarian issue, the chair allowed the motion to be made. A concern was then raised that because it was not on the agenda, that it would take a two-thirds vote for the motion to be considered. Another suggestion was made to refer the motion to the Pacifica Governance Committee. I, Carol Wolfley, asked for the LSB to consider and vote on the motion during the KPFA LSB meeting governance report. So we changed it to put it on the agenda during my governance report, so that it would be on the agenda, and that was accepted by the chair. There was a vote and the motion passed with acclamation. The motion was made verbally by a member of the LSB, was written into the chat, was included in the LSB meeting during the governance report, and was voted on by acclamation. Similar motions were passed at the governance committee and by the PNB. The LSB chair contacted the station manager, and there was station coverage through an email sent to members, a notice on kpfa.org, and there was coverage on numerous KPFA programs. I want to thank Lily for bringing this motion to the KPFA LSB and for everyone who helped to support it. And I want to say that it's very disheartening for people to ongoingly disparage the LSB and members of the LSB with misinformation, and it doesn't help. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a quick comment. I believe this motion was taken up by the PMB Governance Committee, and that it made it to the PMB shortly thereafter, was voted on and approved. I mean, it was within a week, I believe, that this all happened. Yes. So I think in retrospect, the move that was made by the LSB was really good, because it got the motion all the way to the national level, where it has more impact than just at our local station board. I understand the desire to express things at the local level. That's all well and good, but it just seemed like the tide was, the timing and all the rest of the stuff was working against it in the case of that particular meeting, and that the decision that was made actually worked out to the benefit of the motion. That was how I perceived it.
I agree. But I also say that there can only be one motion on the floor at a time, and there was no friendly amendment. So it passed in both the LSB and the PNB, and I agree, Chris, has more traction with the PNB as well. So I think we have two more people who want to speak.
Yep. And
correct me if I'm right, Jose James is next, and then Philip?
Correct.
Thank you. Go ahead, James.
Just want to say, at the time, I thought, I don't have any problem with what actually happened in the meeting. But at the time when we moved it to the governance committee, it was an oddity, because it all came up really fast. But I don't recall at any time ever voting on anything that was actually Lily's motion. And afterwards, it just seemed odd. In fact, Lily was rather upset at the time.
Okay.
Point of information, Madam Chair.
Can I finish, please?
No, you cannot point of information take precedent over anything you're saying right now. Point of information, Madam Chair. Robert's rules of order. Robert's rules of order. Point of information, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Sabrina.
Is this information in the minutes? Do we have a copy of these minutes? Have they been sent out to us so we can all reference whatever it is or whatever's imagined that James is referencing? Thank you.
Yes, they were sent out, and they did reflect that the motion passed. And that's why we're having this debate right now. And I would stick to the fact that it was on the floor. There could only be one motion. Robert's rules of order, only one motion can be on the floor at once unless there is a friendly amendment. There was no friendly amendment. And we voted by acclamation. I said on the motion on the floor, and we voted by acclamation on the only motion that could be on the floor at the time. Although Chris made a friendly
point of information.
Yeah, point of information, then you'll get to finish, James. Go ahead, Carol.
So we have 2 minutes, and then we go into the PMB reports.
Correct.
We are 3 months behind. I would like to be able to publish the minutes, unlike some of the past secretaries of the PNB. I would like us to be able to publish the minutes, so I would urge that the LSB vote on this so that we can put the minutes up.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so can I finish what I was going to say?
Yeah, use up the time so we don't pass the minutes. Great.
I would like to have the people who were here that were in that meeting, who actually thought they were voting on Lily's motion, and who thought they were acclimating what Chris Corey said, because that's what I recall, is that we were just acclimating. And you can say, well, there's some rules, so we were voting on something we didn't know what we were talking about, but then it was an illegal vote because we didn't know what the hell we were voting on. You can't say, I think that's kind of rule, trying to use a rule to say we were voting on something that nobody thought we were voting on, is just misleading. And I think Chris just said it, you know, we moved to have this thing moved to the thing. And I think that was a okay thing to do, you know, but, you know, I would have rather we actually voted on Lily's thing, but that was an okay thing to do and maybe even have more impact, but that doesn't matter. It's what we thought we were voting on. And you can't say, well, rules say we were voting on something we didn't think we were voting on. That's just crazy.
Thank you, Philip.
Well, I totally agree with Carol that we have to take a vote on these minutes. So I will just say that I think that where the sticky wicket is our standard policy of not taking up good causes, like the board is in favor of boycotting grapes, or the board is in favor of opposing this, that, or the other thing. Maybe someday we should revisit that rule of thumb that we don't do that. And I think James is motivated by essentially that rule that needs probably to be rediscussed. Why is it that we don't take up good causes and spend our time voting in favor of good causes? But let's vote on the minutes.
Okay, so let's just go ahead and take a vote. I think it's clear that we have different opinions here. I'm just going to go because we have a time certain for 2 p.m. and it is now 2:01. So on the okay.
I'd like to speak on this.
Time certain.
No, it's time certain for 2:01. We need to pass on to the next one. So do we take the vote now? And anybody who objects, well, we better do roll call real quick, Carol. Okay.
Okay. On the minutes.
Yes.
Okay. Sharon Adams.
Yes.
Daniel Borgstrom.
No.
Chris Corey.
Abstain.
Chris abstained. Mark Van Landuit. Susan De Silva.
Whoops, it wouldn't let me unmute. Yes.
Susan, yes. Christina Huggins.
Yes.
Christina, yes. James McFadden.
No.
James, no. Aki Tanaka. Aki Tanaka. Andrea Turner.
I think Andrea left.
Okay. Tom Voorhees.
It's a no for him.
Tom is a no. Carol Wolfley, yes. Sabrina Jacobs.
Yes.
Sabrina, yes. Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Darlene, yes. Tim Lynch.
Tim had to leave as well.
Okay. Frank Sterling.
Just going to abstain. There's obviously some concern with James, so I'll abstain.
Okay.
Janine Etter.
Abstain.
Janine abstain. Frank abstain. Philip Maldari.
Yes.
Philip, yes. And Donald McClay.
Yeah, abstain.
Okay.
I have 7 yes, 3 no's, and 4 abstentions. Is that what you have, Jose?
That is correct.
The minutes pass. And we are on to the PNB reports. So, I would ask our PNB directors if they have a report. Do you have a report, Sabrina?
No, nothing further than what I've already stated previously.
Thank you, Sabrina. Thank you. Tom Hortons, do you have a report? I don't know if we can hear Tom. I guess he's had trouble. I don't know.
He's thumbing down.
He said no.
Okay. Thank you. Chris Corey, do you have a report for us?
Sure. So let's see. I'm on 3 committees now, strategic planning, coordinating and, finance. So, I would say, what the objective of coordinating has been since the beginning of the year is to put together, agendas for the national board. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to meet a week in advance like I'd hoped, which would allow more time for changes to the, agenda, but it is nice to meet in advance and have a good idea of what is going to be on these agendas. The way that we were operating previously is that we really never knew what was going to be on the agenda until minutes before the meeting, sometimes an hour on a good day. So that committee's functioning reasonably well. And it meets pretty regularly. I think we've had a failure to quorum maybe once or twice this year. So that's good. The strategic planning committee is taking up, alternative methods of funding for Pacifica. There's quite a few proposals on the floor. I would say progress is slow in that committee, probably because we all have a lot of commitments and these fundraising mechanisms are somewhat complicated and take a lot of time to work through. So, progress is slow but steady at that committee. Nothing in terms of firm proposals there. At the NFC, Sharon also sits on that committee. We've gotten all of the budgets passed at this point, except for tragically KPFK, the National Office and Pacifica Radio Archives. So the latter two are funded by the five member stations. So they're always prioritized last. And KPFK is, of course, the obvious, horrible leader. And we've been spending a lot of time talking about it over the last month. Hopefully something will materialize this month. I realize there's only 2 weeks to go, but, it'll serve as a template for a future budget at KPFK for the incoming manager, who I believe started 3 days ago. So that should be helpful to him. That's all. Thank you.